With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We made it!
What?
Yes! Video 32 out of 32. It's a review of Ghana here on Celtic Down Under. And as much as Liam and I have enjoyed doing this, my God, we are glad to be getting over the finish line.
Yeah, Laura, as much as I love you, I'll be happy that I don't have to see you for a few days after this.
Yes, yes. But in true Liam fashion, you have saved what I believe to be one of the best shirts to last. Talk us through that one.
Right, this is the Ghana home jersey from 1996. As in your own words, a classic 90s Adidas style.
Yes.
It's the second oldest original shirt in my current collection. The oldest being a CIS jersey from 1992.
Oh, excellent.
So, the country that were so humiliated when Scotland beat them, they completely disbanded altogether the next day. So.
And I'm sure that had everything to do with the reasons why as well.
I see, that's the thing. Without getting political, I'm old enough to remember when a cis male was a guy that played for Russia, you know.
But I think it says more about Scotland's standing in football at the moment that it's deemed bad enough that if you'd lose to them, you immediately disband any hope of qualifying for anything else ever again. But we shall crack on. Of course, Ghana, famously known as the Black Stars, as emblemised on your shirt there. A team who have provided us with so many memories over especially recent World Cups with the types of Asamoah Gyan and the Ayew brothers. One of those teams that you always look out for at any World Cup just because they can add that little bit of magic. Is that true?
Yeah, it's along with Cameroon, one of those. The thing is, the African qualifying is always a wee bit unpredictable. You're never exactly sure who's going to make it. But I always hope that at least one of the three of Cameroon, Ghana or Nigeria is there because they're all an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, in saying that, it's funny because I talked about the fact that I don't think of South Korea as a World Cup team. And yet they've been at every World Cup since 1986, I think we said.
Yeah.
Ghana are very much in my thoughts as a World Cup team. But as I'm going to show you here, looking at the history.
Not that many at all.
They had a couple of proposed appearances at Spain in 82, at England in 1966, but withdrew from the tournament. Reasons on a postcard for that. I am not a Ghanaian historian, so it might be down to somebody else to inform us of that. But they then obviously qualified for the round of 16 in Germany in 2006, quarterfinals in South Africa in 2010, and to make it three World Cups in a row, they got to the group stage in 2014 in Brazil. Haven't seen them since then. It's been 8 years since we saw them at a World Cup. What are your thoughts on their pedigree in terms of at World Cups? Is there any reason to think that they could pose a threat to anybody this year?
I mean, they're not the same as the Ghana team that went on a run in 2014. You know, they're not on the same level, let's be honest. But they do have some very capable individuals. And yeah, I think that as we saw in their opening match against Portugal, even though they didn't take anything away from the game in terms of points, they certainly took away a lot in terms of earning respect. Because a lot of people before a ball was kicked predicted to be the whipping boys of this group, and that's definitely not going to be the case.
I don't think it is going to be the case. Like you say, I think they're missing the star power of previous players like a Michael Essien or a Stephen Appiah or a younger Asamoah Gyan, certainly. But there's plenty of quality there, as we saw in the opening match against Portugal the other night.
Yeah, anybody that can score two past that defence, which as we talked about is one of the most solid looking defences in the entire tournament. That's saying something, you know.
Yeah. The honest matter of the fact is, personally for me, and it might be speaking out of ignorance, the African teams that we've covered so far are probably a poorer representation in terms of African teams at the World Cup than we've had in a number of years. Yes, they're there. Yes, they deserve to be there. But I can think of other World Cups where the squads that were presented proved a much bigger threat, certainly in the cases of Cameroon especially. Senegal missing Sadio Mane are significantly weakened as well. I know this is a bit of a... probably an insensitive talking point considering we don't do it for any of the other teams, but in terms of raising the profile of African football and finally getting African football onto a level with Europe and other things, do you feel like most of the pressure for that lies on Ghana's shoulders at this World Cup?
Not particularly, no, because I think in terms of player ability, Africa has been there for a while now. If you look at the number of African players that play at the top levels in Europe, it's clear that Africa has, as a continent, has the ability to produce world-class footballers. Mm-hmm. The problem is bringing one country's group of players together to make a team that's capable of winning a World Cup. And that, for me, is an infrastructure issue. Because whilst we could rhyme off dozens of fantastic players who have come from Africa and done really well in Europe, not so easy to think of great African international players who have played predominantly in Africa.
Yeah.
Which tells me that the infrastructure is still not there.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, in fact, me and my brother were having this very discussion the other night talking about the greatest African players that we've ever seen. I mean, George Weah tops the list for most people, I would say. There was no chance he was going to continue to play football in his home country of Liberia. But he came to Europe and he reached the very, very top of the game. Samuel Eto'o being another one at Barcelona. So it's certainly an issue that we talked about Korea wanting to strengthen their international squad and their domestic game by predominantly picking Korean players. It's probably not a luxury that African teams and African nations have.
No, they definitely don't, because the minute anybody in an African league shows a bit of promise, they're going to get poached by a European team.
Yeah. And there's also the fact of the matter that, you know, culturally there are a lot of African families and things like that who emigrate to other countries for potentially what they think might be a better life. We saw an example of that with Mbolo playing for Switzerland. He was born in Cameroon, obviously felt very emotional about scoring that goal against Cameroon, and you know, in a perfect world, perhaps he would have been representing the country of his birth at the World Cup. But as we've said before, it's entirely up to an individual who they want to represent and why, and it's not for anybody to question that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of countries where that's happened. When you look at the number of ethnic Albanians who have played for Switzerland in recent years as well, another one. Kosovans as well, plenty of them have played for Switzerland.
And so many of Africa's great players have obviously ended up going and representing France as well. You could name a truly world class 11 of players of African descent who've gone on to represent France.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think Zidane and Djorkaeff were both born in Algeria, weren't they?
I couldn't speak for Djorkaeff, and I'm pretty sure Zidane's parents are Algerian, but he was born in France.
Right, I know there was an Algerian connection there,
yes,
anyway. Yeah.
But again, like, just all examples of which, you know, if Zidane's parents hadn't had to emigrate from Algeria mm-hmm. for a potentially better life for their child, he would be representing Algeria. So, you know, there's all that to take into consideration. So for anybody who says that football and politics don't mix, then, you know, it's just patently not true. Politics affects every aspect of life, and this is no different. But back to talking about the football.
Hmm.
They exceeded expectations, Ghana, with their performance against Portugal, but they've got tricky ties against South Korea and Uruguay to come. As we've said, looking at the other teams so far in this group, probably the most wide open group, but you would still expect Ghana to perhaps be the weakest of them. What is their chance of causing an upset and potentially leaving a Portugal, a Uruguay or a South Korea out of the World Cup by the end of this group stage?
Well, Korea and Ghana are both in the same boat when they play each other in the next round of fixtures, that if either of them really realistically wants to go through, they have to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana win that game, they're back in contention. Yeah. Lose that game, they're probably out. Draw, that suits Korea more than it does Ghana, because Korea have already got a point on the board. But Korea would still have to beat Portugal in that final game to go through. So really, I think that it's a double-edged sword for Ghana. On one hand, they've got the hardest game out of the way. On the other hand, they're bottom of the group now, and if they lose their next game, they're out. So it's there is that argument. Do you want to play the best team in the group first or last? And if we go on the widely held assumption that Portugal are the best team in the group, though I think that's up for debate, then, you know, Korea play them last, Ghana played them first, but if Portugal beat Uruguay, they're already through, so Korea might have the advantage of playing a team that is resting some of its players, shall we say.
Yes, absolutely. It remains to be seen what Ghana can do, but here's hoping that they can certainly put in a good enough performance for themselves that regardless of the outcome at this World Cup, they can, you know, make a good account of themselves, let's say.
Yeah.
What I thought I would do, Liam, I'm springing this on you because I like a wee surprise. Rather than go on about talking about the rest of the group as we have done in the previous three videos, we are at the end. So as a wee treat, I thought we would play a wee game. Who's up for a little bit of a World Cup predictor?
Okay.
So listen,
disclaimer, folks, do not bet on any of these, okay? Because I've had my fingers burnt already with this.
Well, I was going to say, we've already done ourselves dirty because half of the stuff that we've said has not come true in the first round of fixtures. So this is going to be an absolute nightmare, but we'll go for it and see where we get. Because I thought this would be quite good. We've talked through the groups. It might give people a summary of what we think is going to happen in the groups, but also because of the way this predictor works, we'll be able to see what fixtures would come out of the predictions that we make.
Right, okay then.
And see how far we get. So we've got Group A, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal and Netherlands. I think despite our initial trying to be football hipsters and suggest that Qatar might get further than people expect, their first appearance suggests that that is not going to be the case. So are you against me putting Qatar bottom of the group?
No. Yeah. I think it's ironic that in a country that bans alcohol in stadiums, we had the World Cup's first pub team.
So let me just zoom this in a little bit just so it's a little bit clearer to see. Group A, I think we're saying Netherlands are going to finish top, eh?
Yes, they are, yeah.
They are. So who takes the second spot between Senegal and Ecuador for you?
Now, this is the tricky one. But Ecuador impressed me when they played Qatar, as much as Qatar were ranked rotten. I'm going to go for Ecuador.
Ecuador, right, we'll go for that. I probably agree with that, to be honest, because I think, especially with Valencia being as on form as he was in that first game, he could really prove dangerous for the rest of the group stage. Now, I don't want to pain you, but we can't really say anything other than England top of the group, can we?
Yeah, we can. I'm saying USA are going to top that group.
Oh, right. Okay, right. We'll go for it. just to make it interesting. Yeah. Obviously, mm-hmm. England got that convincing 6-2 win against Iran. I'm presuming you're saying England second then?
Yes, yeah.
And then just out of interest, do you hold out any hope for Wales, you know, maintaining a bit of dignity and getting third place, or will that go to Iran?
Let me just check the latest score with Wales and Iran.
We are recording this as that game is live, so yes.
Currently nothing each, so I'll go for Wales in third.
Wales in third and Iran in fourth. Group C. This one, I kind of want us to ignore the result because I think it could potentially really scupper the rest of the rest of the predictions. Argentina obviously get beat off Saudi Arabia. Will they qualify from the group though?
See, it's a tricky one because I think Mexico will win the group, but they're playing Argentina next. So if Mexico win, that means Argentina are effectively out. Right, do you know what? Bugger it, I'm going to go for it.
Okay.
Mexico first, Saudi Arabia second. There you go.
Oh, right. So we're using current scores to inform us here.
Yes.
And then as much of a muchness, we'll put Argentina third and Poland fourth because Argentina probably will beat Poland. Group D, France, Australia, Denmark and Tunisia. The only team showing any sort of sign of being on all rounds firing is France. So I think they'll be top of the group, I would say.
Yeah, France then Denmark. I think that's a pretty clear cut one, to be honest.
France then Denmark. I'm sorry, Australians. I think you're going to finish bottom because I don't see you holding even Denmark to a draw the way Tunisia did. Is that fair, Liam?
I think they could beat Tunisia, which would get them third.
Right. We'll go for that. We've got to cater to the audience anyway. Spain are finishing top of Group E. I think that's fair to say. They absolutely blew away Costa Rica, and Germany have shown nothing yet to suggest that they're going to do anything of great repute. Did Japan, following the victory over Germany, pull off a shock and get second place, do you think?
Well, they've only got to beat Costa Rica to do it, so yes.
Yes, let's do that. And then to save some German blushes, we'll say Germany third and Costa Rica fourth. Group F, we've got Belgium, Canada, Morocco and Croatia. Canada, I was very impressed with, even though they didn't manage to beat Belgium.
Yeah.
Belgium top in the group, do you think?
Yeah, although I don't see them going much beyond the group, yeah.
Okay, we'll go for Belgium to top the group. Did Canada make a wee shock? Did they potentially get second place, do you think?
Yes, because I think Morocco and Croatia both looked very ordinary and very beatable if Canada play the way they played against Belgium.
This could make for some interesting fixtures, I have to say, because, you know, there's some of the teams that even after one game, you wouldn't have said Japan or Canada were going through before game one, and yet here we are, or Saudi Arabia, certainly. Brazil are absolutely top in the group, in Group G, there's no doubt about that. This is the one where we really struggled to see who would get second place, I think. Who do you think it goes to?
I'd probably say Switzerland because they only need a draw against Serbia now to finish above them. So
yeah. And I think Switzerland as well have that firepower of Mbolo up front that could just prove the difference for them. And then the group that we've just reviewed is obviously Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay and Korea. Do Portugal top the group?
Yes, I think so.
They do. Then who takes that second place for you? Does your heart go with the Asian football and go with Korea, or do you think Uruguay will do it?
It's a tricky one. My heart says Korea, my head says Uruguay, my nose says Colombia. You know, I'm going to go with Korea.
Let's do it a bit different, and we'll say Uruguay third and Ghana fourth. Next up, we have got the round of 16, so it'll be Netherlands against England, according to this. So who's taking it from there? I've got to say, I think Netherlands could do it, but maybe I'm being biased.
The Dutch did not look as if they hit top gear in that opening game. But I think they're good enough to see off England, although England also performed a lot better than I expected in that first game, to give them their due.
Fair. Then get Mexico, Denmark. I'm pipping Mexico for that one to break their duck and get beyond the round of 16. What about you?
No, I'm taking Denmark because Mexico always go out in round two.
Right, let's go for Denmark. Right, Spain versus Canada. I've got to say, if this takes place, it'll be one of the most exciting games at the World Cup for me.
Yep, yep.
But I and think Spain will pip it.
I'm going to go for Canada to spring a shock there.
Oh, dearie me, dearie me. Right, we'll go with it, we'll go with it.
Right.
And then Brazil, South Korea. It's got to be Brazil, surely.
Aye, I love the Koreans, but nah, Brazil all the way.
Then we've got USA v Ecuador. That is going to be a tight one. USA.
But it could easily go the other way.
France, Saudi Arabia. I don't see Saudi Arabia doing it again, do you?
No. France are a better team than Argentina, so aye.
Yeah. Then we've got Belgium, Japan.
Oh, a replay of the last 16 from last time.
Yeah.
I think Japan could do it this time. I think they're on the way up, and Belgium are on the way down. So
I'm going to go with that because I really wasn't impressed by what I saw with Belgium. So I'm going to go with that. And then Portugal, Switzerland, probably Portugal pip that one, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
Right. Okay. So we are now on to the quarterfinals. This is where it gets really meaty. Netherlands, Denmark. That's going to be a hard one to call. I'm coming round to your opinion that Denmark might pip that one, though.
Yeah, because I saw some deficiencies in the Dutch team in that first game. So, yeah, Denmark.
Yeah. And this is where Canada's amazing run to the quarterfinals, having never scored a goal or won a game at a World Cup, comes to an end.
Yeah.
So we're going to say Brazil for that one, and it'll be Brazil-Denmark in the semi-final. We've got USA v France. It's got to be France, surely.
Aye.
Got to be France. And then Japan-Portugal. See for just out of sheer loyalty, I want Japan to get to a semi-final and knock Ronaldo out of his last World Cup.
Oh, yes. The narratives there are just,
Yeah.
And there'll be T-shirts of Daizen slapping Ronaldo, you know, like the Batman and Robin meme? Of like
absolutely.
Scalping Ronaldo, yes.
So for clarity, our semi-finalists are Denmark, Brazil and France-Japan. Not what anybody would have called before the World Cup started, but certainly given the fact that we have, you know, seen a few results that put things out of kilter. It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. Yeah. Brazil v Denmark, is this where your bet for Denmark fails to pay out, do you think?
No, because I think Brazil will not win this World Cup. I think semi-finals is a good bet for them, but I don't think they'll win it. And I think Denmark are the sort of team that have the tenacity to kind of somehow squeeze past them.
Okay. So you're saying a first World Cup final appearance for Denmark? Wow, somebody's really, really tied to their bets, aren't they? And then we've got France v Japan. I mean, my heart says Japan, but there's no way they're getting beyond France.
No, I'm sorry.
Then, as romantic as it would be for Christian Eriksen to complete the ultimate redemption arc and win the World Cup only a year or 18 months after he nearly died on the pitch, I could see France defending their trophy here.
I could also see France bottling it.
Liam, come on.
Yeah.
Don't leave us here having told everybody that we talk utter shite and then we predicted Denmark to win the World Cup.
Oh, I really want to, though. I really want to. All right, okay, we'll go with France. I'll let common sense dictate the day. All right, France.
Excellent. France to win the World Cup. You are missing some secondary predictions. All knockout fixtures require score prediction. We're not doing that. Doing that today. But really, really fun to do that, actually. And I always think it's interesting because you can say what you want about the group stages and very often they're very easy to predict. But it's when you get to the knockout stages and it's one-on-one ties where you think, you know, Canada versus Spain, there could be a wee shock there, etc., etc.
If you remember a wee while ago, I rattled off my group stage bets, some of which were completely wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, if these teams win their respective groups, I get 55 grand, right?
Right, okay.
We're into match day two, and none of them have lost yet.
Okay, okay.
I'm just saying.
So just remind us who your winners for the groups were. Do you remember?
I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. Obviously, I took Japan. Japan were the biggest prize because they were 16-1 to win their group.
I bet you're wishing you put a wee bet on them to beat Germany, just individually.
Oh, I did. Don't worry. I did.
Oh, nice, nice. So we're already quids in. Get excellent.
Yep. 6-1. That's going to pay for the next couple of weeks' worth of betting on each individual game, put it that way. Always gamble responsibly, kids. In fact, don't gamble at all if you're kids, okay?
fair. But listen, I think from my point of view, to all the viewers on Celtic Down Under, to Liam and Jared and the team, I would like to say thank you very much for inviting me to do this. It's been so much fun. I hope we get a chance to do it again before another major tournament. I would really enjoy that. Liam, how has this kind of helped you in terms of getting to World Cup fever pitch?
Oh, it's really, really helped you. And I want to thank you, Laura, for volunteering to do this, because when I first hatched this idea a couple of months ago, you were the person I had in mind for it, because I having spoke to you on Axom a few times, you have a wide knowledge base, you have a great love of the more obscure elements of football, the same as myself, and it's just, I think we have pretty good banter on here, so it's been a pleasure to work alongside you this past couple of weeks, getting all these videos together.
No, absolutely. And what I would say to everybody watching is, if you did enjoy this series, and if you want to see more series like this from us on Celtic Down Under, in the lead up to the international tournaments, or in the lead up to any big football events, then please make sure and let Jared know on Twitter, let Liam know. I'm not on social media at the moment, but certainly let us know in the comments below, because it's not without you guys watching this that we would have something to do like this. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter either since that bloody blood diamond scumbag Elon Musk took over it, but I check the Celtic Down Under Facebook page regularly, interact with people on there, so that's the way to find me if you want to if you want to let me know about this series, or rip the piss out me for thinking that Denmark are going to get to the final, go ahead. Do your worst.
We will. I think potentially what we might end up doing is certainly a single preview show before each of the final rounds. I think that's probably the shape that it's going to take.
That's a good show.
A preview before the round of the 16, a preview before the quarterfinals, a preview before the semifinals, and then a preview before the final. I think that's probably the shape it's going to take. But keep an eye on all the socials on Celtic Down Under to see when those come out. Liam, thank you very much. It's been quite a journey, and we will see you all again very, very soon.
See you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.